Welcome to Krakoa. Welcome, everybody, to our Dawn of X book chat. Today, we will be discussing some of Marvel's X-Men's books, which are New Mutants, Cable, and X-Men, as well as talking about some of the X-Men news. I am Juan.
I'm Plotters.
I'm Rodders.
And our first book we will be discussing is New Mutants with Rodney.
Okie dokie, listeners. On this new issue of New Mutants, we are entering Russia. We see this new mutant that has a little trouble with her powers. We don't know yet. And then we cut off to the New Mutants that were in space coming back to Earth. Boom Boom was very unhappy that she did not get contacted to go. But Ryan was like, well, you were too drunk and asleep, so we couldn't get you up, girl. And then we pan off to Magic and Cyclops talking to each other, and Magic was not hearing it. Because Cyclops was like, well, the Quiet Council said a lot of things happened when Boom Boom and Armor went to Kansas and people died. And Magic's like, well, they tried not to kill anybody and no mutants died, so that's what matters. And she walked off. Next, we go to Magma and Boom Boom. About to take the whole, well, not all of them, but only a few of the New Mutant group to a new mission to help this Russian mutant. And then we pan off again to Doug, Armor, and Mandu. Doug wants to start, like, what Sync is doing? Is that her name? The one who finds everybody on the Krakoa?
Sage?
Sage, yeah. He's kind of doing what Sage is doing, but he wants to put Krakoa and Cerebro together to see what mutants are not actually on Krakoa. Actually go help and save them, just like Armor did in Kansas. And then we go back to Magma and Boom Boom's team going to Russia to save this new mutant girl that is having trouble. Because as you know, Russia does not recognize Krakoa. So they want to save every mutant that they can from Russia's hold. And we also find out that Boom Boom knows Russian, surprisingly. I mean, she did used to be an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we find out that this new mutant has reality warping, maybe nightmare powers, and she takes Karma, Chamber, and Magma. And Doug tells him to hold on. He's going to get reinforcements. And who are those reinforcements? The former MLF, the Mutant Liberation Front. And more importantly, the last panel surprise is Wildside. All right, and that was the first, that was the newest issue of the New Mutants.
This actually was a lot better than the previous issues. I always liked the Ed Brisson Union so far, but this was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I liked the moments with Magic and Cyclops. It was kind of like a stand down, kind of like they were both just like waving their dicks around and being like, "Oh, look at me, I'm the boss." But no, I'm the boss.
Yeah, I really liked a part where. Because I glad that they addressed that Boom Boom wasn't there in space. Because I was wondering why other people weren't in space. It was just this select group of core New Mutants. Because she's been part of the group too. And she was, I mean, we know that she's been a drunken mess this whole time. And they didn't say drunken mess in the thing, but you know. Everyone was like, you couldn't wake up, girl. You were asleep. Like, she was drunk. She's been partying the whole time.
I kind of liked another thing that we found out in this book is that certain parts of Krakoa are divvied up into, like, all gang turfs. Like, the MLF are like, hey, no, you're not allowed to be here.
And I kind of like that. MLF turf.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I actually did a little research on the MLF. The MLF has a really deep history with the New Mutants because they first started off with Strife forming them and forming like a mutant terrorist group, but their first run-ins were with the New Mutants and like trying to save them and, you know, capturing them and manipulating them to be a part of them. So they really don't like the New Mutants because they kept like, I think they basically thwarted all their plans and made them disband over and over again, made them captured and quarantined and all that stuff. So they're like, very disgusted and don't even want to be around the New Mutants.
It's very realistic take on like society and like, well, as much as, and I kind of like that this is like everybody always saw Krakoa as, you know, just one big happy society. But, like, no, people are still going to have feelings about stuff that happened pre-Krakoa. Oh, yeah.
Right. Just because they're all, like, united in one little place doesn't mean, like, those feelings have subsided. It's like, no, we're still the outsiders, or we're still not really 100% behind all of you guys.
Yeah, well, it's just like with Magic with Cyclops. They've always butted heads with leadership because they both do leadership in different ways. And this definitely showed that. Magic's like, hey, why are we worrying about this little thing? The mutants survived. Humans tried to kill them. Like, why are you blaming them? They were trying to help them. Why are you blaming the people trying to help people, you know? And I'm actually kind of surprised. I guess they'll probably show this later. But I know Magic said, maybe this was a hint at it, but she says, you know, I haven't been on Earth that long. I need to go back because I've been away for so long. But they didn't touch anywhere Kitty being dead.
No.
Magic. And I guess they're, I'm assuming they're obviously waiting on that, but her and Magic are obviously really close. They're best friends. So I'm surprised we didn't even see any of that when she came back to Earth.
I'm also going to be... Oh,
go ahead.
I'm also going to be interested to see her, like, reaction to everything that Colossus has been going through, because...
Right. Yeah. Because have they even... they haven't interacted at all, really, have they?
Not that we've No.
seen. Yeah, that should be interesting, because he's going through, like, this weird depression kind of thing. So, go ahead.
Who put Magic in charge of children, anyways? Like... I love Magic, but, like, we shouldn't have put her in charge of children, like the sex stand where all the kids. Probably not the best idea. That probably should have been Danny Moonstar, but...
Right. I honestly think, yeah, it should have been Danny Moonstar. Like, she's the most... I feel like she's the most level-headed. Even without her powers, she was taking charge. And I feel like Magic, if... Maybe not now, but in the past, when things got a little rough, she would just escape into limbo or somewhere else. Like.
The thing is, though, like, it's because Magic has been the steady. She's been with the team longer. They know her more. They know her style more. And Danny has kind of been, like, on her own and stuff. So
a wild card.
And she doesn't take grief from anyone. She's going to fight back, you know. But, what I did like on this is that Boom Boom actually showed some depth, and I love that because she wasn't just the sloppy drunk. She wasn't just the good time gal. She came up to the plate, and she, like, I know Russian. I don't need my powers to beat you. I'm going to go and take charge of the situation. And she did good.
Yeah, I feel like in this New Mutants run so far, like, we've been seeing a lot more Boom Boom, and I feel like they're trying to develop her more into a leader in this new Krakoan society.
Yeah, this is, and also, like, I like the appearance of a new reality warp immune. That's gonna come be a big thing for Krakoa, because who knows, this could be a new Omega level mutant.
Right. Alright, so do we want to move up into Cable?
That sounds good to me. All right, Cable, about the first solo series for Kid Cable, or Babel, or Dial-Up, or whatever you want to call him. He is gorgeous art, by the way, by Phil Noto, who's one of my favorite artists. You probably know him most from, people probably know him most from, like, X-23, or some of the Star Wars art he's done. He's done, side note, he does these, whenever a new Star Wars trailer comes out, he does, like, mock movie posters for them.
Oh, that's
awesome.
His art, and they're all very, very good. And I wish they would just use him for the movie posters instead of making their own, honestly speaking. Speaking of which, I wish they would use more comic artists for movie posters. Those always look fantastic. Anyways, it starts off with Wolverine and Cable battling in an arena called The Quarry. Which is, it's cool that we now have, like, a sort of fight club for mutants. And, Cable wins by cheating and using his telekinetic powers and telepathy. And he beats Wolverine, and it's in the background that, Gorgon and Callisto had made a bet on who was gonna win. Callisto bet against Logan. And odd fact, is the hosting, is like the sort of referee of the query. Yeah. It's cool to see Silver Samurai there. I like him. Then we get a little bit of a like a record of like all the battles at the query. The Cable Wolverine is actually the 13th. There's been a few other interesting battles. The first one was Gorgon and Magic. Magic got disqualified. God, I would love to see what she did to get disqualified. Some other really interesting ones, like Magma and Firestar. Why that's interesting is because we have not seen Firestar at all on Krakoa, she is immune. She is going to be in the little shout-out to the Daniel Kibble-Smith, Luciana Picchio, New Mutants. That's not New Mutants. New Warriors, that's going to be coming out. Firestar is going to be in that if anybody wants to see her, along with Justice. They're both mutants. But they're going to be there. And a few other ones, like we got M versus Bishop, the Cuckoos versus each other. This also confirms that Blink is on Krakoa because she battled Nightcrawler. And then, which I'm guessing was probably the most adorable fight, was Leech and Artie, who I'm guessing eat as Celebration. And then this little girl, who everybody might recognize from the first issue of New Mutants, of Marauders, antagonized Kitty for not being able to go through the portal. Her name is Curse, apparently. And her friend was missing after they went, they were, like, just playing around and, like, adventuring. And, a kid went missing on around a Kaaba where all the monsters. And that little kid is the little green kid from Hox that Gene took through the portal. Their name is Fauna. And so Pixie, Cable, and Armor go to find the kid, and they almost immediately find the kid and then get jumped by a giant monster who looks like it could be like a mix of like monkey and lion almost. Mm-hmm. He's got like a monkey-ish nose almost, and but yeah, it's Pixie uses her powers to make the young Fauna sort of hallucinate and not be as scared, because afterwards everybody, like the giant monster kind of looks like a Muppet almost afterwards. It's really funny. He's like a really dopey grin on his, and so then like Armor comes in at the last minute, saves Cable. They're like crushed underneath. They're being like stepped on by the giant monster, and like Armor sort of like flirts with Cable, and like they have like a conversation, and they almost kiss. And before that, Cable notices something sharp and metallic stuck in the lines in the monster's foot. He pulls it out, and he doesn't pull it out. He like the monster lifts its foot, and then Cable like knocks it out using one of his big guns. And then he pulls the metallic thing out of the monster's foot, and it's a sword of an old-timey Marvel property called Space Knights, anybody who knows Rom the Space Knight, he was an old cartoon or toy or whatever that Marvel used to have the license to. They can't use Rom specifically, they can only use the Space Knight name. And so he takes the sword of the Space Knight, and, you know, he gets hallucination that this was a Space Knight who had come and come to Akaba and battled this monster specifically and died in the process. So it knocks out Cable, and they're, you know, watching Cable to make sure he's okay. They take him back to Krakoa. Like, they don't take him, he's already on Krakoa, but they take him back to, like, where they can watch him. Cable's pretty excited. Cable wakes up, pretty excited to have a sword. Cyclops is like, what happened? And Pixie and Armor are like, yeah, we don't want this kind of smoke, so we're gonna leave. They left him, didn't have to explain everything. Then we get a flash to a bunch of other Space Knights who look like they've been kept in like a museum of sorts. They turn on because of the activation of that sword, and they're going to come find it on Earth. And then we get the flashback of all flashbacks, and that is to this weird fire crab who's like, who looks like he can create fire from his hands. And he gets killed, and it turns out it's old Cable, like it's old man Cable, and yeah, and then we get a little journal entry from Cable. I'm guessing this sounds like something old Cable would write, but yeah, and that's how it ends. And that's such a weird cliffhanger. I did not expect them to bring back adult Cable this quick in the game.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed by that.
How so?
This is the first issue for Cable, young Cable. I finally got around to enjoying this guy. He was finally getting his moment to shine outside of Fallen Angels and outside of the X-Men one. And I was like, really? Now here comes old Cable to cast his shadow over young Cable's story. Now all the people are going to want is going to be old man Cable. Like, come on. I know they're trying to set
it up,
but at the same time, I'm like, let this character shine for a second, or else I'm not interested in this kid anymore.
That's fair.
And I like this. I did really like this issue and this story. I think Gary Duggan did a really good job of writing it, and the art was great. But I have to agree with the ending. I'm just like, so is old Cable or adult Cable, whatever, gonna come back and kill young Cable? Like, I don't think both Cables can be in the same reality, right? Like, for a long time? Or does that not matter?
I don't know. We have so many different versions of Wolverine. I'm sure
that's true. Exist. But that's not, they're not the exactly the same person.
One thing I'm curious about is that, will this be an old man Cable who grew up through Krakoa? Like,
right.
Because we got previous old man Cable is dead. And that's Cable who, I'm guessing, didn't know anything about Krakoa. This might be a Cable who knows the future of Krakoa and everything that's happening. And that might make for an interesting storyline. As we know, timelines is a very, like, touchy subject within. Right. And, like, I mean, I'm guessing if precogs are a problem, I'm guessing time travelers are probably going to be a little bit of an issue.
Well, now that you say it like that, now that interests me.
Yeah, I think about that.
If that's what they're going with, like a Cable that grew up in the Krakoan timeline in Krakoa, coming back from the future, I'm 100% down for that. But if it's the old man Cable, because for me personally, that looked like Limbo, like he was finding his way back from Limbo or some junk like that. But you never know; it could be an apocalypse, or whatever.
I mean, even if it was the Cable that this young Cable killed, you know, and whatever that was, dissemination or whatever. I wouldn't mind that as much. I mean, I don't really want it, but if it's going to happen, I don't really mind it. Cause then you get his interactions with everyone that's now there colonized, you know, he gets to meet his mom again, like Cyclops and all that, and see them being like together in a family. And he's never really got to see that. Well, he hasn't seen that in a long time. So that'd be kind of nice, kind of like closure moment for that, especially if you're like a major Cable fan, to see him, like, see his family be happy. That might be good.
Also, him calling Logan Uncle Cable, Uncle Logan, was fantastic. I'm like, mwah, that's delicious. Bellissime.
That was really cute. But, like, one of my favorite things of this issue, which was a really small thing, but it could open things for later, was the fact that Blink is confirmed to be on Krakoa. Because last time we saw her, she was in another dimension with some other dimension
exiles.
People. Yeah, the exiles. So I was
that was such a good run.
But I was like, oh, she probably won't be around. I understand. She's not even in this dimension. But she's here. So I'm like, can we get her somewhere?
Right.
Maybe next year.
Because she did, like, she is part of those Young Mutants. She did start off with Generation X in them. She was one of the original ones that was there. So she's part of the new young crop of mutants. So I would imagine that, you know, she would have a place here in the Sextant.
Speaking of Gen X, I have one last thing I have to say about Cable, though. We got a new sword. 10 of swords, everybody. More swords.
I know. More swords. He pulled it out like Excalibur sword from the lion.
That's true.
But right. Speaking of Gen X, we get a Gen X mention in the new issue of X-Men.
Yes, X-Men number 8. This issue is way different from the last issue. This issue is written by Jonathan Hickman and art by Mahmoud Azhar. I love his art. We are opening up with breakfast at the New Mutants house with all of them finally getting back together from space travels. Rue comes in with Heidi, and instantly Brew realizes that there's a freaking king egg in the room. And he's like, what is that doing here? And she's like, oh, Wolfsbane's like, oh, I just want it. That's my space booty. You know, I want it. And he's like, no, you don't understand. This thing is not supposed to be here. The Brood Queen will find it. They can sense it from galaxies away and they will be here. So, sure enough, here we go. The Ankanti, the space wills, are coming in to the into the space of Krakoa and landing, and out breaks out a fight. It's the brood battle, and we get this amazing fight with Magic and Cyclops teaming up together, and Magic opening up these portals so that Cyclops can like shoot his freaking beams everywhere, which was amazing. And Brew tells them, oh, they're here for the egg. So Jean tells Cyclops, okay, we got to get this egg out of Krakoa. We need to send it back into space, try to get it out of here. So Cyclops leaves Magic there to fight, and we get that badass lesbian roar from her. I'm calling it that. I don't care. And then we get an info sheet from War of the Kings, which is really interesting. Because this info sheet tells us about the battle, saying that Black Bolt is dead and that Vulcan is dead. But we have seen Vulcan, and he's on Krakoa, hungover, having crazy hangover space dreams from when he was like lingering in space that he keeps having repetitively. So then we cut away to space where the Accuser has the jammers in a jam. Because they're all handcuffed because they don't have the king egg. He's there to collect the king egg. They were supposed to give him that, and he doesn't have it. So we get Roberto, the negotiator, saying, okay, I'll give you the king egg, but what I need you to do is let go of them after you rough up Corsair a little bit for me. So now we have Roberto making the plan of a deal for an egg that he doesn't even know where it's at. Especially now that Cyclops has it, and him, Havoc, and Vulcan are out in space trying to get rid of this freaking egg to take the brood away from Krakoa. So then we finally cut away to Daddy Gladiator and Kid Gladiator in space hunting the Conti, hunting brood, and then they get notified that there's an Accuser in Shi'ar Empire, and Gladiator's like, all right, load it up. We're about to go hunting some Accusers. So that's basically how this book ends. It's pretty wild. A lot happens.
This book could almost act as a prelude to Empire, because there's a lot of like galactic politics in here.
Exactly. Almost. Yeah.
I think, like, we saw an Accuser I don't think I've ever seen before. I like his cool eye thing he has.
It
has
right? That, like, I was a wondering weird, who like, that is.
Yeah, I've never seen him before. I like that when ID was walking Brew into the habitat, they were talking about, like, how everything's changing. And, like, he mentions, like, oh, the last place you took me was unacceptable. He's like, oh, yeah, that's just the Gen X kids. They live like animals.
Okay, real fast, why do my poor Gen X kids keep getting treated like the redheaded stepchildren in these books?
I mean, they kind of like are.
Nobody loves them.
You can still love your redheaded child and know that they're, you know.
I need more than that.
I like that we got to see Oya. We haven't seen her yet in the hotspots.
That's Ivy.
I mean Ivy, not Oya. I meant Ivy. But no,
her codename's Oya.
Oh. Yeah, codename's Oya. Yeah, see, I said it right. Yeah, it's Oya. We haven't seen her before. We haven't seen her yet in the whole hotspots Dawn of X thing. And now she's kind of like, I don't know, like a tour guide of the whole Krakoa. I kind of like that.
She's like the census taker.
Yeah.
She's
like internship for Storm.
I like that Brew is allowed on Krakoa. That makes me so happy because right. Brew is a good boy and he deserves to be there. I was a little worried since he's technically an alien.
Right. And the fact that Brew is also in a juice cleanse was hilarious.
But, yeah, this was such a good issue. It was such a departure from the last week's issue.
Right.
Which is, not last week, technically, but, like, last issue, where, like, everything was super deep and religious and mystical. Though this is just like, hey, let's fight aliens. This was really great callback to War of Kings, which if there's the panel where the dream that that Vulcan had, it's in the almost a panel for panel recreation of this panel from Fantastic Four where Black Bolt's floating off in space and during the inside the fault, and it's almost exactly like the way Black Bolt was floating, which is a very interesting, like, change. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
That's a good, it's such a big question. And I like that we got Sway and Petra in this issue, which is cool.
Drunk, but we got them.
Yeah. And one of them did not want breakfast, which is, like, first mistake, you have to eat some breakfast, some greasy fast food after you're hungover.
I had this theory for Vulcan, and I know I talked a lot of people online about it, going back and forth, like thinking maybe this is true, maybe it's not. What if there's two Vulcans? Like, this would be the first time ever that two mutants are, like, the same mutant is present, and, like, one got reborn, but he's still alive.
Yeah.
Because what if he's not just having dreams? What if he's having visions of his other self still alive in space somewhere?
That is an... I don't know how much that pans out because we know What's-His-Face escaped the fault. We know Black Bolt escaped the fault.
Right.
So what if something like Vulcan... Another theory I've been seeing, like, what if the X-Men somehow save Vulcan from the fault, but... like, wiped his memory of all, like, the bad things he did, because Vulcan's very nice and chill in the movie, and, like, previous Vulcan would have, like, tried to already take over Krakoa, like, tried to dethrone, you know, Xavier, and so, like, this might feel like some chicanery go on, like, they might have messed with his brain a little bit.
I think they probably did mess with his brain, because he seems very docile. I mean, I've never read War of Kings, so I don't know all that went on in there. I want to. This made me really want to read all those, like, 50 issues or more. But maybe one day. But
there's a really great X-Men tie-in called, it's a limited series, like, that acted as a tie-in to War of Kings called Kingbreaker. And it's a really good series. It's mainly about Havoc, Polaris, and Rachel Gray. So, it's cool.
Nice. I have to check. I'm actually doing the reread right now. I really wanted to find out about this. and it's interesting because it's funny because I've been seeing some images online of, like, how much callbacks Hickman has done to a bunch of his, not only his writing, but to other people's writing of, like, either images or phrases. It's very much a callback story, right? That Hickman's writing, it's like one of those, like, he's paying an homage to the stories of X-Men and his own stories that he's developed while he's been at Marvel. It's pretty interesting.
I like seeing Kid Gladiator again. He was one of my favorite characters from Wolverine and the X-Men.
I'm glad that it's funny because like House of X or Dawn of X has given us a bunch of family moments, and that was a nice family moment. That another family moment we got.
Yeah, I never thought about it. It really was. Yeah. You don't really get to see that much.
We got to see the Summers brothers together. We got to see the Gladiators together. Yeah, family.
Does Hickman have a family?
I think so. Married? Oh no, he does. Okay. He had. I remember him saying he has kids, and he reads them some of his work so they can roast him for it.
Right. Yeah. He wants them to have a podcast or a YouTube channel where all they do is talk smack about his books.
So that's probably why he's deep into family. So that's probably why there's so much family content, which is nice.
His Fantastic Four run is very family driven. So he's very good at writing family dynamics.
That's good. We need more family dynamics in X-Men. Mm-hmm. It needs to be more coming together.
I love family. That's just a side tantric. I hate when they take kids away from like characters or get them unmarried, because like family is good. Like you want them to be happy. You want them to be able to grow as people, not just be constantly single.
Exactly.
Ooh, that bothers me.
When everyone's arguing that Rogue and Gambit need to be separated again, and I'm like, do you know how long it took them to finally get together?
Right.
Like, this is a good thing. Let them be together. Like, why do you guys want, like, all these, like, single people just hooking up all the time? I'm like, we have to have some stability.
Uh-huh. The only good reasoning I've ever, like, read of, like, why someone didn't want a kid around was during Scott Snyder's Batman. Everybody asked why, like, he didn't want to write, like, Damian Wayne. And he was like, it was kind of a self-problem thing. He's like, My own son was around the same age at the time, and I just like the thought of having my own son in danger, like writing a child in danger like that. He's like, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And I'm like, that's a fair point. But otherwise, yeah, like I like it when they're kids. Like I like when people can have more than just themselves to worry about, and more than just like, oh, the general, like, oh, I gotta protect the city, or oh, I gotta, you know, fight with my team.
Right. It adds more stakes to it.
Yeah. Okay.
There was two things that one of my two points that I really loved about the X-Men issue. The first one was the big panel that we got of Magic and Mirage, I guess they're calling her now, Danny Moonstar, of them just whipping out their sword, getting a bow and arrow, and just kicking ass. That was amazing. It was so beautiful. And that, who was the artist again? It was
Mamet Ozar.
Yeah, that was fantastic artwork. And then the other one was I just had it in my brain and now it went away.
I can't pull it out
for you. You can't pull it out for me. All right, well, let's go.
Then let's move on.
I'll come back to it.
All right, do you want to go on to the news?
Yes. Okay, so there wasn't a lot of like news this week. It was we did get some interesting fact, an interesting thing that the Runaways is going to be tying into Dawn of X.
Yes.
We got a preview to see June's cover, and it's a glorious cover by the one, the only Chris Anka, who it has Wolverine and Molly Hayes standing like giving each other like mean faces, and like Logan's pointing towards the Krakoan portal that's behind them, and like Molly looks like she just does not want to go, and it's funny because she's kind of taller than him now, but she's also wearing Tim's, so like you. No, she's still probably about this. She's probably about the same height, but like it's great to see like, oh, she's aged, because she used to be like super tiny and smaller than him. But I like that they let her grow up a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially because we know in the future, like she becomes this big old Hulkling character. So it's funny to see her towering over Wolverine, being like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm with my family.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this issue. I know it doesn't come out until June, so that's kind of like, ugh, I'm kind of upset. I wish it was coming out sooner. But I really hope we get Molly to Krakoa. I mean, I know we're not. I know she's going to stay with the Runaways, but I want her to come to Krakoa and stay.
As someone who loves the Runaways, and I've been a big Runaways fan since, like, I started reading comics. It was one of the first comics I read, like, all the way through. Was the Runaways Young Avengers crossover for Civil War, and
nice.
And I checked it out from the library. It was fun, but it's really cool to see this. I hope she stays with the Runaways. I hope they get like a Krakoan gate inside the hostel, because like so she can just go and travel there when she wants to. Like, I want, you know, like Franklin and Molly and Clara and like all the, you know, mutant kids who have stable life with humans to be able to treat like the Krakoa like almost like the YMCA, for lack of a better, like they can go there after school and like hang out with, you know, friends and other, you know, people of their type and be able to learn more about mutant culture, but like still be able to stay with their family, because like Molly's had a rough life, like all of the Runaways have, and they're like to just kind of just rip her away from, you know, the people who have been there for her through all of this trauma and everything, I wouldn't be happy with it. So like, I just hope they can all just come to an agreement that like a Krakoan gate would be perfect. It would be good. That's the way it should go. Just like, give them the gate and let Molly come and go as she pleases.
Right. Which was cool though, because like, this is the first time they've had a major tie into any story outside of the Runaways universe.
Exactly.
So that's pretty big. I'm like, yeah. Oh, Rainbow Rowell.
Right. Yeah. And I guess I have to agree, especially since we just talked about, you know, wanting more family in the comic books and not wanting to split them up. I do agree that would be a better choice, having a gate in the house and everything. Even though I still want Molly to be actually on the X-Men team. I would love that.
She should be on New Mutants. I think that'd be really fun. But I also kind of like that they in the solicitation for New Mutants and for Runaways, they mentioned Pixie's also going to be in the book, which is fun. Oh. Pixie's never interacted with Runaways. Another, this is going to be another slight like Dawn of X tie-in, is Juggernaut for that month. We already knew Juggernaut's going to deal with a little bit of Dawn of X subject matter, because it deals with him being sad he doesn't get to go to Krakoa with his friends that are on the X-Men. But it in the June issue of Juggernaut, apparently Juggernaut's going to be battling Incredible Hulk to protect the honor of Krakoa.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Which is like, oh, that's so cool. Juggernaut versus, you know, Immortal Hulk.
Yeah.
Ah, that's going to be fun.
The Devil versus I don't even know what you would call the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
It's insane.
There
was one, Fox, if you don't mind me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Projecting a little bit. And this week's issue of Ghost Rider, it was like a little tidbit from Krakoa, where Wolverine is fighting the spirit is it Chaos? No.
Corruption?
Of corruption, yeah. The spirit of corruption. And he's like, Krakoran rule says I can't kill no human beings. Don't think whatever you are now counts as that. Which is so cool, because he's like, you're not a human. And even when he's outside of Krakoa, he's still like obeying these rules, which I thought was a really cool little nod.
That is
continuity.
Awesome. This, I have a little bit of news. I don't think it technically counts as news, but it gives us a little more depth on a story. The Empire X-Men tie-in, that four-issue, like, series that we're going to see, is, I originally thought it was going to be, like, an anthology of, like, all the different writers from Dawn of X doing their own little mini-stories within Empire. Turns out, I was listening to the Battle of the Atom podcast, and it was the C2E2 special, and they were talking to Leah Williams, and Leah Williams dropped the hint that it's going to be a case of like round robin almost, where they're one person's gonna start and then they're gonna like do the story pass the story on to someone else, and it's almost going to be like they're trying to up each other and how crazy things can go.
Oh.
And so cool. So it's all going to be one story. I don't know if you remember recently the Spider-Man Around the World one shot where it was like all those different writers. It's going to be like that, but on a bigger scale, on like more than one issue.
Cool. Oh wow.
I'm down for that. That should be interesting.
Yeah. I just thought I'd share that. I listened to that entire podcast so I could see if I could get any interesting hints about anything. There really wasn't much that we got interesting new hints about. Jerry Dugan did not want to write about Deadpool ever, but since he's writing Cable, he kind of has to now.
Yeah, and he's going to bring him in at some point.
Yeah, so that's what the third issue of Cable is going to be about, Deadpool. We also got a little bit of a one panel thing that Jerry Dugan tweeted out where he's like, it has Deadpool holding, Cable holding Deadpool by the scruff of his neck, being like angry and all in his face about it. So, but yeah, so that was pretty much all the news for the week. There's only two books next week, so it's going to be a shorter episode next week. There might also be, just fellow listeners, there might also be something else special coming next week if I can wrangle a certain person, but just keep that in the back of your mind if you're listening. There might be something special next week going on for us, but the only two books we have, X-Force and we have Excalibur. Nothing really much happens in either preview. We see that for some reason the X-Force can't get through a portal, which is, it's funny. Quentin Quire breaks his nose in the same way Kitty did.
Yeah.
And cool. And then Wolverine's talking to Domino, make sure she's okay, trying to make sure, you know, like, hey, how are you holding up, yada yada. But there's really not much else that happened in that preview. It's in Excalibur, it's kind of Apocalypse having a blue dad monologue where you're just like, hey, you know, this is what we got to do. They have to go to the castle of the White Witch, who we know now is Saturn, and he's talking to Gambit, and he's like, hey, what do you want me to do? And he's like, I just want you to do something for your species. And it's Gambit still angry at Apocalypse, which,
of course.
I get it. I don't have any problem with that. He has every right to be angry with Apocalypse constantly. That's another example of, people not being able, people are still going to have feelings about stuff that happened before Krakoa. People aren't just going to get over it.
Right.
But otherwise, that was all the previews for this week. Is there anything anybody else wanted to discuss? Any stuff they saw online that they found interest in? That
I remember what I wanted to say about X-Men.
Oh, good. Yes, perfect.
Because I was looking through it while we were talking. it was when Jean Grey said there was 30 other telepaths that she was connecting with on Krakoa when the Brood was attacking. I did not know that there was that many telepaths on Krakoa, or that many telepathic mutants in general. Well,
five of them are cuckoos.
I mean, yeah, but then there's 25 others. And is she even talking about Emma in those 30? Is Emma even on the island at that moment? I don't know. And is she including herself? So my thing, I posted this online. I was like, I would love probably an X-Men issue, obviously, the main title of all the telepaths coming together and having a seance with each other and just telepathically, just to see who they are. Maybe get introduced to new telepathic characters. Maybe get some new characters.
Well, you want what everyone wants, an issue about something that they like.
Well, I mean, that would be...
That's what everybody wants. Everybody
called out.
I want an issue with Generation X. Am I getting it?
Well, it's not really just about, I do like it. But it's we've never had... It'd be something different, too. We've never really had that.
Watch that episode of the X-Men cartoon where they got all the psychics. There we go.
Oh, I guess.
That actually brings up a fact, an interesting question I saw online. Are they going to bring back all the clones of the cuckoos? Because it's not just the five of them. There's an entire army of cuckoos.
Oh, yeah.
That were murdered.
The whole, like it wasn't like a bunch of like pods filled of cuckoos.
Yeah, for lack of a better word, it was a cuckoo's nest.
Oh my god!
Like, thank you. But
no, -10 points.
But yeah, there's an entire basic army of cuckoos. If you brought an army of cuckoos, you basically have like a telepathic web constant protection over Krakoa. There's not gonna be getting. There's no getting through that.
I mean, that would be great.
Just get one of them to fall in love with a boy. You could take all of them all down.
I mean, they're falling in love with Cable.
Yeah, their weakness is boys.
Apparently, they're gonna be lovers to Cable. All five of them.
God. That's another thing about Cable. This book was so overwhelmingly heterosexual. It was very hilarious. But like I thought Armor had like a thing for Glob right now. Like I thought that was her story and New Mutants. But Ed Brisson teased that the chickens, the Glob's chickens are coming back.
Oh my god, boom. It's the chickens.
Glob's chickens.
I love those chickens, especially that they made their way back from Age of X-Men.
Yeah.
One day Blob, like maybe like in a year or so, he's going to get his own solo series. I swear.
Hey, if Dupe can get a solo series, Glob can get
I know. I love it. I want it. I hope I hope they make his power evolve somehow, though. Why don't they do more?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. We did get that one tease from X-Factor that they released some art from it.
Yeah.
Where they were investigating. Yeah, we see
the werewolf.
We do. The little baby.
Mm-hmm. Little baby werewolf.
He's helping them.
But,
It's the X-Men's, it's their version of Baby Jeff, the Land Shark.
Oh my god. I want them to hang out so badly.
Right.
Jeff Landshark and Werewolf. And like, Gwenpool should be able to have Jeff, because she left Jeff with Deadpool, so like, Deadpool wouldn't, you know, so like, the Jeff wouldn't like get raped. But like, she should be able to have him now. And also like, she should be in a Dawn of X book.
Exactly.
Gwenpool should be around.
Justice for Gwenpool.
She could be a New Mutants too. She is a new mutant.
I was actually thinking Gwenpool, okay. Gwenpool, I think, would be a good match for Kid Cable.
Yeah, oh my god.
Yeah.
That would just be insanity.
Quentin Quire would lose his shit.
Oh yeah, then Quentin Quire would get into that. Oh my
telepathic gosh. Battle between Quentin Quire and Cable would be so good.
The fanfic writes itself.
Oh, that would be so good. Okay, story idea, because like they're both such idiots and I want to see them fight. But yeah, Kid Cable and Gwenpool I think would be an interesting couple.
I'm just like, quick,
just in my opinion, because like right. I really hope she gets to write Gwenpool again, like just even if it's just a one shot, like call it like Dawn of X Gwenpool, where it's just like Gwenpool causing chaos on Krakoa, like they had to figure out whether she gets kicked out or not. Yeah, that would be. Oh my god, Leah Williams writing an X-Men war. It's just it's the Quiet Council having to judge Gwenpool on whether or not she gets to stay or not.
Oh my god,
that'd be funny.
You're over there with Rodney too, just creating these books that are gonna happen.
They're never gonna happen.
Epic book could happen. Okay, they mentioned that for a reason. Hickman doesn't just mention things for no reason, okay?
It's true.
All right, let's wrap this up because we're about to go.
Well, okay, I think this is a great place to stop.
All right, guys, thank you so much for visiting our habitat. I am Juan at Chongo ATX on all the socials.
And I am Rodders at Rod Bunny Slay on all the socials as well.
My name is Fox, and you can find me at AgentFit777 on Twitter. I am there a lot.
All right, guys. Thank you for coming to our habitat. Have a great day.
Bye.